It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Happy with your fantasy assets or don't know them from your fantasy elbows? Well, we've got everything you need for Game Week 7. The weekend's big point opportunities, and with good fixtures ahead for Chelsea, what are the best options for getting a little fantasy magic out of lamps? It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Excellent. On board the show today, we have Lindsay Hooper, presenter, reporter for the BBC and Premier League, and indeed one third of the Offside Rule podcast. Hi, Lindsay. Hello.
It's taken me till game week 7 to be able to show my face because I haven't had the best of starts, but it's slowly coming together now.
Right. That's comforting to hear. Also with us, Holly Shand, fantasy football expert.
Hi, James. How are you today?
Right. You seem shocked by that description. We'll discover why very soon.
Yeah, you'll soon see.
And Julien Laurens is here with us, French journalist, and in the top 290,000 managers worldwide.
Wow.
You had a big week.
It was a very good weekend, indeed.
Excellent. I'm delighted for you. Game week 6 favoured those who had plenty of Man City. We flagged up Nicolas Otamendi, actually, in last week's show as potentially a really valuable transfer to make
at
the
back.
Which was brave,
considering what he had been doing this season.
It certainly paid off, didn't it?
It paid off.
A goal, an assist, a clean sheet, 15 points in total. The other big scorers, well, Bernardo Silva, who had the hat trick, but he played a full 90 midweek in the League Cup for Man City, so I'm not sure how that factors into our plans. We can maybe look at Man City and how League Cup performances are going to impact on choices at the weekend in the Premier League a little bit later on. But Kevin De Bruyne with 17 game week points, he's now the top scoring midfielder. Sterling, who was the most captained last weekend by fantasy managers worldwide, didn't feature at all.
Yes, and what have I been doing? Because I have been that person. I had Bernardo Silva at the very start of the season, played my wild card in week 3, got Sterling in. Of course, Bernardo Silva scores a hat-trick, and Sterling scores very low. So the fact is the last two game weeks wouldn't be enough, I don't think, as a fantasy manager for you to think, let's ship Sterling out because we know he's going to come good.
Well, actually, there's a lot of people making that very move right now. Actually, he's the most sold player in the game week, Raheem Sterling. Over 200,000 managers have done that ahead of the trip to Everton this weekend. Holly, what's your feeling on Sterling? Is he in your team?
Yeah, he's in my team. Unluckily for me, I've had him as captain 3 weeks in a row, so two blanks, and then he didn't play last weekend, which was really frustrating, especially when Manchester City go and score 8 goals. But I'm keeping the faith with Sterling. I think he could be the highest scoring player when it comes to the end of the season, really pushing Salah right to the end. He's not become a bad player overnight. And we've seen with his games in the Cups and for England as well during the international break that he's still got all of those qualities we want in a fantasy asset. So he's going nowhere in my team.
Jules?
I never had him.
And you don't want him?
No.
What do you think, and it's really hard to second guess Pep Guardiola, what do you think we should make of the fact that he played 73 minutes against Preston midweek? Bernardo Silva and Gabriel Jesus played the full 90, and Benjamin Mendy came on. Mm. How much do you think that affects what's going to happen with Pep's selections this weekend?
I think it might have an impact. However, Pep also can't ignore the performance against Watford, and I think it would be harsh if Bernardo Silva, for example, didn't start against Everton, even if he played in the Cup after scoring a hat-trick the weekend before. I mean, I know Pep doesn't do his teams compared to what they did before, but with the Champions League game coming up as well, I think there will be some rotation. However,
who do you think?
I think Aguero will come back for the game after not playing in the Cup, and Gabriel Jesus will be back on the bench. I think I could see Ilkay Gundogan playing this weekend.
Okay.
Maybe.
Mahrez?
Maybe Mahrez as well. I think Sterling will start, but I could see Bernardo Silva playing in midfield, for example.
He was, Sterling, the most captain player last weekend. But 500,000 of the people who captained him were saved, Lindsay, by the fact that with him not featuring at all, they got Lundstrom coming in off the bench. Oh, my word.
That is the reason I'm here, because otherwise it would have been too embarrassing again. But I did get Lundstrom off the bench, and
what
that meant
result.
That I got 64 points, which beforehand we were talking, and Holly was like, I'm not going to talk about what I got because it was 60-something. And I'm like, I got 64!
Right.
Because I've had that sort of start to the season, which has been very slow. I haven't got below 40, but it's just been 50s, and I was very grateful for Lundstrom.
Will you bench Lundstrom again?
Yes, I will this week. He is
against
actually
Liverpool.
My third final pick.
Right.
I've already done my team, and I've already done my two transfers. I spent 4 points.
Okay, we'll hear about those later on. Lundstrom, who is the top value outfield player, defensively speaking, when you consider his price and the amount of points he's got. The highest rated in terms of value per million points-wise in midfield is Cantwell, and it's his Norwich teammate Pukki, who's currently the top value forward. On the subject of forwards, Tammy Abraham blanking last weekend at home to Liverpool. There is this notion that against the bigger clubs, he's not going to produce the returns. Was that him hitting his limits, do you think, Ollie?
Yeah, I think he might struggle in the big games. We saw it as well in the Champions League where he struggled, but he's got a lot of easy games coming up, and you've got to bear in mind that in those easy games against the sides that aren't traditionally in the top six, he's banging in braces left, right and centre.
Does that make him a pick or not a pick?
Oh, yeah, definitely a pick.
OK, good, good. And just one other thing we should mention from last weekend, which was the first goalkeeper assist of the season, which went to Bournemouth's Aaron Ramsdale. What a performance from him. He's only 4.5 million, six saves, so that's two save points, mm-hmm. and an assist. Just fantastic. Jules, you know this guy.
Yeah, I know him really well. And I was involved in the deal that took him from Sheffield to Bournemouth with his agent, Charlie McNicholas. He's a lovely kid who went on loan to get a bit more mature and everything. And I'm so glad that Eddie Howe, with Richard Hughes, the Bournemouth sporting director, had a lot of faith in him from a very long time, but gave him the time to get ready. And now that they felt he was ready, and he's taken his chance so well.
From a fantasy perspective, do you regard last weekend's performance as an exception, or is he somebody you'd be considering?
I think the assist is exceptional, and I don't think he will do an assist every game. However, in terms of a man of saves,
right?
Because, let's be honest, the Bournemouth defence is not the strongest. He will face a lot of shots, and he will make a lot of saves, which I think, especially if there's a clean sheet at the end as well, he will make him more points. And I think he's a really, really good shout for a goalkeeper outside of the big usual ones like De Gea and Ederson and Alisson when he will come back.
Jules, who got 96 points, as he keeps asking me to remind you, last weekend.
How many again?
96 points. You were the highest scorer among our pundits. You're ninth in our pundit mini league. Jack Lang's still leading that.
Lindsay, you know I'm doing bad when I'm 3 points behind you.
Yeah, no, that's fair, to be fair. Although I succumbed to temptation. Remember the previous round I only got 26 points.
Yeah.
So I basically switched it off and switched it on again, wildcarded. And last weekend did much better, but had almost as many points on the bench last week that I had in the entire squad for the previous round.
So you should have played your bench boost then.
Yeah, well, you know, fair. So, yeah, I'm 3 points ahead of you. If you'd like to join in the fun, listener, and you're not part of our league, do apply the code 6QP8QK and rectify that immediately. You certainly won't be bottom. Right, next up, let's have a look at where the value lies in those Game Week 7 fixtures. Game Week 7, and it all begins at Bramall Lane with Sheffield United taking on Liverpool. Holly, you've drawn the short straw to discuss this one. Sheffield United have just done one Merseyside club, of course. Can they now do Liverpool as well?
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting game this weekend. I don't quite know what to expect from it because Sheffield United are going to set up very defensively, and I think the key to how this game will go will all depend on how soon in the game Liverpool manage to score. There will be goals in the game, so I wouldn't recommend starting Lundstrom this week, despite his heroics last week. But it could be one of those where Liverpool are frustrated for very much most of the game. I'm quite interested in Firmino for this game over the likes of Salah and Mane, who's currently flagged, because Firmino scored in every away game. He's shown how good a playmaker he is this season and that he's managing to get involved with the goals and assists more, which is excellent. So he could be the key man that can unlock the Sheffield United defence.
Do you think we should be looking more at Liverpool defenders for this fixture, the likes of maybe Matip?
I think Liverpool have got a good chance of keeping a clean sheet, but it's so unpredictable this season. They are missing Alisson and they just haven't got that security at the back. But certainly the full-backs, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, we've seen how good Trent is. He managed to finally get a goal. It's now 4 attacking returns in 6 games for him, so he's definitely a starter. Hopefully he can get attacking return and a clean sheet in this one.
if in any doubt, I would go with Trent Alexander-Arnold or with Robertson because they're likely to get you an assist, as we know. I've had Trent Alexander-Arnold in my team since the beginning, and I do think that he is going to score more goals this season than he did last season. And against Sheffield United, I think they will struggle with that width that Liverpool use, and that might be the key to this game. But it could be quite low scoring, as you've hinted. So if it's Firmino who gets on the score sheet or Trent, you know, you are putting quite a lot behind these players if it only ends up being 1-0 or having one goal in it. And I don't think it's going to be a high scoring match.
I see. You're curious to know what's going to happen when Saints travel to the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium to take on a Spurs side that's in some difficulty at the moment. Despite their recent bad run of results, Heung-min Son's one of the most popular players out there. What Spurs assets are you looking at, or Saints assets at this point?
Well, yeah, it's difficult because trying to judge Spurs and how they react, if you took the view that they could do what Manchester City did to Watford, then maybe everyone would plough everything on Harry Kane, look at Son as a new option, maybe Eriksen to come good. And because it's at home as well, I think that there is more value to be had in Spurs players in this match than there are in Saints. However, a player that I've bought in quite recently is James Ward-Prowse. Now, although they at Southampton lost to Bournemouth, I was at that match, he did score. He's also looked very good in the League Cup, and I think he's a player finding good form. It might be worth going with midfielders or attacking options in this match because I think both teams could easily concede. So, yeah, maybe the value more slightly tipping towards Spurs. I would maybe think about Kane if you've got him. If you've got Son, Eriksen, they could be good points returners in this. But if you have got some midfielders from Southampton, maybe keep with them because they could actually get something in this match.
I think most people would still see Spurs as heavy favourites in that. Jules, you're looking forward to Man United Arsenal on Monday night.
Yes.
Here's a question from Hordafee. He says, should I hop on the Tierney-Bellerin train just yet? Both players featuring in the League Cup midweek, along with Callum Chambers as well.
Yeah, I think Tierney is a really good shot. Obviously, Maitland Niles will be suspended because he got sent off against Aston Villa. So there's someone will have to play at right back. Whether Bellerin is ready for that game, I'm not so sure. Chambers did really well both against Villa when he came on and obviously scored that goal, and then in the League Cup too. So he could be a good shot, especially at the price he's now, which is very interesting price. And in terms of differential as well, I don't think many people will have him. I like Tierney a lot, and I think he could start on Monday night, and I think he could be a really good shot because he's an attacking fullback.
At the same time, he would be starting in an Arsenal defence, which is not usually a place you would look for FPL points. Is it the fact that they're taking on a Man United team who are really struggling to score right now and also dealing with a lot of injuries? Although I think maybe Martial might be back, is that right?
Martial might be back, and Pogba is back, obviously, and I think it's the right time to talk about Paul Pogba.
OK, well, let's talk about Paul Pogba.
This is a team that is far more creative when he's on the pitch than when he's not on the pitch. And I know people either love him or don't love him at all, hate him. I think he could be a very good value in a fantasy team because of all that creativity he brings, because he's always very good against Arsenal. I mean, remember last season at the Emirates when United won 3-1, he bossed that game and ran that game by himself pretty much. So I think if you were thinking about Paul Pogba coming back from injury, full of energy, he hasn't played for a while, he's ready, he's hungry, he loves playing against Arsenal and he does well against Arsenal, this could be the game at home as well.
All right, we also had a question in about Mason Greenwood. This is from Lana Masbay, who says, does Gabriel Martinelli, who scored in the League Cup win for Arsenal midweek at 4.5 million, bring more value than Mason Greenwood, who's also, I think, actually dropped now from 4.5 to 4.4 as a third striker budget option? What do you think about Greenwood? Are we going to see him in the Premier League soon?
I think he's just scored 2-2 in the Europa League and now in the Carabao Cup. This is the right time for him to start a game, even against Arsenal, knowing how leaky the Arsenal defence is and how in form and in confidence Mason Greenwood is right now. If you were Solskjaer, With Rashford out and Martial still in doubt, or at least, you know, not fully fit or not ready maybe, I think Greenwood has a big shot to start, and two, has a chance to do well against this Arsenal defence. And for me, at that price, 4.4 million, Greenwood is a really, really good shot this week.
A note on Arsenal as well. Unai Emery, in the post-match press conference for the League Cup, revealed that Hector Bellerin wanted to start that match. He'd asked to. He got an assist with his first touch of the ball. So for anyone who's thinking of Bellerin, he could be a good risk, a good gamble option.
OK, we'll look at some more differential choices later on. After this, though, we're going to take the long view. very good. Having a longer term look at the fixtures and where the big patches, the swathes of green are on the excellent FPL fixture difficulty rating calendar, which has been updated, by the way, to reflect on how difficult teams are proving in the games they've already played. The main takeaway here is that three big sides are suddenly looking like really good options in terms of their fixtures. Chelsea, Arsenal, and although they're not in the best of form, Spurs. For Chelsea, how good an option does Marcus Alonso look given the injury to Emerson?
Yeah, it's really tempting. And I think, obviously, Emerson's meant to be out for at least three or four games, so Alonso's going to get the game time. And it could be quite interesting to see how Frank Lampard lines up in that game, because he may choose to deploy the wing-backs where Alonso's more favoured, and maybe three centre-backs to get a bit more stability in defence. But he's so attacking, and we've seen from previous seasons how he can deliver fantasy points from goals and assists, as well as clean sheets. And in his two games already, he's had two shots and he's created four chances, getting an assist. So it's a tempting option, but it does come with risk.
Okay, and it's quite pricey as well. He's 6.2 million. Much cheaper at the back for Chelsea. And I'm wondering whether he might be a really good player to bring in. It's Tomori, who scored that brilliant goal the other week. 4.5 million, and he's had three straight starts.
Yeah, I don't know if he will ever score a goal like the one he scored against Wolves, especially, you know, a first-time shot like that. But he certainly looks solid, and that Chelsea defence, I think, looks, for this game and the run of fixture that they have coming up, which is, you know, Brighton, Southampton, Newcastle, Burnley, Watford, and then Crystal Palace. Those six games, potentially, you could see them not conceding many goals at all with Tomori at the heart of that defence. So I think, like Marcus Alonso, like Holly just said, I think they're very good shouts.
Are you looking to double up or maybe triple up on Chelsea players ahead of that run?
Yeah, I think I'm likely to bring in three Chelsea players this week, because you don't see anything better than six green games on the fixture ticker. And even after they've got Manchester City after that run, but then beyond that, it's West Ham, Aston Villa, Everton and Bournemouth. So the long-term view, as well as the long view and a short view, it's all looking great.
I'm a beat behind, so I'll probably look at it next week.
All right, Spurs and Arsenal, as I mentioned, also have good fixtures, as do Norwich, West Ham and Burnley. Just one quick note on Spurs. Dipanjan raising the question of Sun and asking, is it worth saving 2.6 million and getting rid of Sterling for the South Korean? Holly, where do you stand on Son Heung-min?
Well, I think Son's a great fantasy asset. I think the issue there is if you transfer Sterling out, you've got a bit of a problem if you don't have any Manchester City attackers, because you never know when their next 8-0 win will be around the corner. But Son would be my sort of best pick, to be honest, from Spurs rather than Kane, because he is playing a lot more advanced this season and Kane's not doing much of the running. And in his last three games, he's got two goals and two assists. So he's certainly a great option with good fixtures coming up, certainly in the home games.
Fair enough. After this, let's answer some more of your Twitter questions. Listener, we invite your questions with the hashtag FPLPod. This week we were asking about your midfield dilemmas and who you're unsure about. A lot of people with a lot of doubts. Condor, for example, on a kind of like a broad point about tactics, saying, I'm trying to switch to a 3-5-2. I've got to figure out who I want to put in. This to me is interesting because I never really think of my team as being in one formation or another. It's just who my players are facing this week, whether I go with, say, three forwards or five midfielders or whatever it is. Jules, do you?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think every single manager in the game should be pragmatic. You can't be dogmatic in a game like this.
Well,
one.
A lot of the top people do actually favour either going with, say, three defenders or four defenders. Holly, do you have a kind of a blueprint formation?
Yeah, it tends to be 3-4-3 every season, and I did experiment with 4-4-2 this season because we've seen a lot of forwards not really delivering last season. But then this season we ended up with a plethora of options in attack. You've got your premium forwards that are somehow delivering almost every week.
And the mid-range forwards are doing really well as well. Yeah. So the principle there is as few defenders as you can field. The four good midfielders you've got are not the rubbish enabler you've got sitting on the bench, and then all your forwards.
Yeah, say so. But it's so tricky because you've got players like Lundstram and Cantwell who in easier games are deserving of starts and can hit double digits. So remaining flexible is the key.
Okay.
I love defenders. I think sometimes four at the back is okay, you know, and they bring you points as well, and it's just not about all attacking.
I've approached the defence slightly differently this season to last season, because I used to go for clean sheets and who would get me the most points from that area. But now I've decided to go for more of the attacking-minded defenders. So looking at your wing-backs, your Alexander-Arnolds, your Robertsons. I did have Luca Dean in for a while, but I've just got rid of him. I think maybe Chilwell would be a good option at the moment. And Tierney at Arsenal, who I really rate. So I'm going with more of the assists, because we cannot predict these clean sheets at the moment, can we? I mean, every game week I have got it wrong.
Holly, is it just me, or is it crazy the amount of talk of Arsenal defenders in fantasy teams we're having at the moment?
Absolutely crazy. I wouldn't recommend it at all.
Okay. thanks for that. Abdubba says, I want a replacement for Daniel James, who I'm not sure why Abdubba wants to get rid of Daniel James, but the options instead are McGinn, Madison, Lamella or Yarmolenko. Abdubba, which would you go for? Holly?
I'm quite interested in Yarmolenko, because West Ham have been playing really well from an attacking perspective, and it seems to be that it's Yarmolenko that's getting the points, and he's got 2 goals in his last 3 games. They've got no top 6 sides in their next 6 games, so it could be the time to jump on board.
I think he's been selected by only 0.9% of the players, so in terms of differential, having Yarmolenko is good. I mean, I was at the West Ham Manchester United game on Sunday. I mean, and I don't know who would put Pablo Fornals in their team. Certainly not me. But don't do it.
Okay, don't do it. Madison, by the way, who did score last weekend, currently rated as less than 50% chance of playing this
weekend.
I've
got him in my team, so
if I
need
had
to
the
start
money,
thinking.
As a long-term option, though, I would go for him. But I have, because of that very reason, I've bought him McGinn.
Who's been a very reliable performer so far. A couple of other quick questions. Faizad says, I'm considering either Abraham or Wilson to bring in. Any advice? Wilson, as you may have seen, one of only 3 players... to have produced attacking returns in each of the first 6 game weeks, the other 2 being the rather more expensive Aguero and Aubameyang.
What's great about Wilson as well, in the first 4 match days, he averaged 5 points, and in the last 2, he averaged 10 points for each game. He got 20 in the last 2 match days. Bournemouth are playing West Ham, Arsenal. You know, we talked about the Arsenal defence. Norwich, Watford, Manchester United, we talk about how bad they are. And Newcastle, so potentially a lot of games there where Callum Wilson could score goals. He's certainly more informed now than maybe after starting a bit slowly this season. And with Bournemouth playing really well and, again, having their game very much more in place, I think Wilson,
his
price is a good shout.
And you also have to take into consideration that Wilson takes penalties, so that's obviously going to score you extra.
One last question. Frederick Eriksson says, is it time to switch out Zinchenko for Benjamin Mendy, who came on, didn't he, in the League Cup midweek?
Yeah, he played in the Champions League and then in the League Cup. It's good for him to be back after almost 6 months out. I would say yes, because I think Mendy offers far more going forward than Zinchenko will ever do. Maybe not so much defensively, but going forward for sure.
But is he a reliable starter?
I mean, physically first, in terms of fitness. I'm not sure how much you can rely on him with injuries. And 2, I don't know exactly where Pep is in terms of his confidence with Mendy to start him in every single game coming forward.
Would you have either of them, or would you go for another option?
Yeah, I'll go for another option, like Marcos Alonso, we said, Chilwell, who's a good, or even Tierney, if you'll be crazy.
Excellent. Up next, we'll be looking at some low ownership gems in Essential Differential. Very good. Looking forward to hearing some surprise names now. Lindsay, kick us off with your differential pick.
Well, not so much a surprise name. I've mentioned him already, but I'm going to bring in 2. Okay, so I'm going to double up. And the idea behind this being that if one doesn't play, the other one will.
Okay.
And I'm going Arsenal. They have this favourable run of fixtures ahead. And I'm going Kieran Tierney because I was so impressed with him in the League Cup. And then I'm also going to bring in Callum Chambers. Callum Chambers got 3 assists in the League Cup. He's been played in different positions. And actually, in a more advanced role, he really is delivering those assists. So I think he's someone that if Tierney doesn't play, have him on your bench as a cheap option comes on.
Okay, 4.4 million. He is cheap. I will grant you that. Holly, we've talked about Alonso and Tomori. Let's complete the set with another Chelsea option, a differential pick.
Yeah, I think Azpilicueta is probably the safest route into that Chelsea defence. 5.9 million, so he has seen a little bit of a price drop. And we saw last weekend against Liverpool, he got an assist. He was very, very close to getting a goal as well if it wasn't for VAR. So he's had two shots this season and he's got 11 chances created as well. And as I've said before, if Lampard is looking to move to a wing-back system, that could really benefit him. And he's also got that understanding with Tammy Abraham. He's already assisted him once this season and Abraham's a great target in the box. So hopefully that's another source of points.
Fair dues. Jules, it's another Chelsea option for you.
Yes, it is. And hear me out on this one, okay? I think it's the right time to buy Callum Hudson-Odoi because he came back and played the whole game in the Carabao Cup against Grimsby, scored as well. Okay, right. It was an easy game for Chelsea, but still, I think the fact that he played the whole 90 minutes, and you know, usually when you come back from a long injury, you start by playing maybe 45 minutes and then an hour, and then but the fact that he played the whole game shows that he's ready to even play again, I think, this weekend and maybe so on. And at 5.9 million, I think it's a bargain. Right now, it's a bargain. His price will go up because a lot of people will start buying him once he's going to start banging the goals, and he will be very, very good this season. And also, I think Lampard dreams of a front three of Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham, and Callum Hudson-Odoi. So soon his dream will be realised, I guess.
His dream can be yours, listener.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, 5.9 for Callum Hudson-Odoi. And what's his ownership?
0.2%. So, I mean, he's the most differential of all differentials of differentials.
Wow. Wow, that's a great shout. A lot of Chelsea options there. All right, well, to finish off then, let's just find out what transfers you guys are planning before the 11:30 UK time Saturday morning deadline, and also then who's going to wear your captain's armband. Holly, let's start off with your transfers.
So I've got two free transfers this week, and I'm looking to bring on board a lot of Chelsea players. Oh, I'm going to match that with all three. Tammy Abraham's coming in the place of Ashley Barnes, who's blanked in his last three games. I've also lost patience with Daniel James, and Mason Mount is going to come into my midfield. And then I've also lost patience with Lucas Digne, who has blanked and he's got Manchester City this weekend. I don't think he's providing good enough value for money, so I'm going to bring in Tomori at 4.5.
I see. Julien?
So, I mean, I know, Lindsay, you were really brave and already made your transfer and picked your team, although you can still change that. I think everyone should wait until Friday lunchtime afternoon to hear all the press conferences of all the matches. I mean, who does any work on Fridays anyway? So you can focus on your team, make sure that you get all the latest fitness news of every single team where you have players and all of that, and then decide. For example, I'm waiting to see what James Maddison's fitness is and what Manuel Lanzini as well. They're both in my team. If Brendan Rodgers says Maddison is okay to play, I think I will keep him. If Rodgers says no, he's out for this week, then I will let him go and change it. I think I will get onto the Cantwell bandwagon. I've flirted with him a lot this season. I never got him in, but I think they've got Crystal Palace, Villa, and then Bournemouth, United and Brighton, something like that, I think, Norwich. So I can see Cantwell hopefully keeping doing well.
Very nice. Lindsay, you've already made your move, and what is it?
I have. I've made two transfers and I've spent 4 points because, of course, the wild card was used a while ago. I had to get rid of Digne. As Holly said, he's been blanking. So I've brought in Chilwell, who can get some assists, and they're at home to Newcastle, Leicester. So I thought that was a good opportunity. And then McGinn at home against Burnley, maybe a bit more risky, but then I hadn't got that much money left.
I see. Very good. Well, then the last and possibly most important question of all is who will be wearing your armband? Lindsay?
I'm going with Sterling against Everton because Everton are so up and down. I know they've been better at home, but I think off the back of that performance, Manchester City will probably be full of confidence. And also Sterling has a slight point to prove at the moment. So I'm going to stick with him, and my vice is Firmino.
Interesting. I'm sure Man City figure among your options, Jules. Is that right?
Yes, either Aguero or Kane for me. And I think I might go for Kane at home against Southampton and have Aguero as vice-captain. I'm not sure yet. It's usually during the nights between Thursday and Friday where something comes in my head and then I decide.
Holly?
Yeah, it's on Mo Salah at the moment, although I'm a bit concerned because in his away games he's only got one assist. Southampton and Burnley's blanked against both of them on the road, so once Tammy Abraham is in my side, the armband might be moving to him.
You might give him the armband. Right, that's interesting. Chelsea, of course, taking on Brighton at home, which is the start of a very nice-looking run of fixtures, as we mentioned. I find it hard to look past any Man City asset at the moment, but they're nice to have some options there. Whatever you do, listener, with your team, make sure it's in by 11:30 Saturday morning UK time. If you have a question for us for next week's show, then the hashtag is FPLPod on Twitter. And if you want to join in our Fantasy Premier League podcast league, then the code for that is 6QP8QK. There's also loads of other great advice and content from the Premier League on the FPL show, available via the app, and on FPL FYI, which you can catch on the Premier League's YouTube channel. And links to all of that can be found on the article in the Premier League website. So that's good. Nice. Lindsay, Jules and Holly, many thanks for today and best of luck for Game Week 7. Look forward to seeing you all soon. Listener, we'll be back same time, same place next week. So we'll see you then.